Welcome back to the Rav Hirsch on Parsha series on OU Torah. This week we'll be studying Rav Hirsch's commentary on Parsha's Kisetze. We begin with the discussion in the Parsha of Ben Sorer Umore, which is found at the beginning of the Parsha, Parak Chav Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. Now the Ben Sorer Umore, Rav Hirsch notes, is of course an interesting case, as Chazal tell us. This is the case of a young man, a young boy, who's the age of 13, who within a 3-month period following his bar mitzvah begins to act inappropriately, stealing money from his parents and eating large quantities of meat and drinking large quantities of wine. And because we are concerned for the future of this child and the path on which he is headed, we are afraid that he will end up stealing, murdering, and come to no good. And the parents bring the child to Beis Din and have him put to death, which is very extreme. But of course, Chazal says, Nidon al shem sofo. We find him guilty because we are concerned where he will end up. Of course, of note with regard to the Ben Sorer Umore is that Chazal say, "Lo haya v'lo asi liyos." Ben Sorer Umore never was, and never will be. And if so, say Chazal, why does the Torah tell us about Ben Sorer Umore and include numerous halachos regarding his case? So Chazal tells us, "Drosh v'kabel schar," which means that it's there for us to learn and to gain reward, earn reward for studying a parasha of Torah. And that is how Drosh V'Kabel Schar is typically taken. However, Rav Hirsch interprets Drosh V'Kabel Schar to mean that it is there for us to study and for us to reap the benefits by studying what effective parenting is and what are common parenting pitfalls and mistakes. And here in this parashah on Chumash, Rav Hirsch cites his own essay, which has been published in collected writings in the 7th volume, on page 333, about the Ben Sorer Umore. And he mentions here that the subject of the Ben Sorer Umore and the educational lessons that can be learned from the halachos of the Ben Sorer Umore, which he describes in full detail in the essay, but of course he brings down many of the relevant details here in the parish on Chumash as they pertain to the Pesukim. So just to go through some of these ideas that we can learn from the Ben Sorer Umore, for example, one of the things that we just mentioned is the age at which Ben Sorer Umore is applicable. And that is, we learn from the pasuk which says, "Ki yel ish bein sorer umore," when a man has a son who is rebellious and disobedient. And Chazal derive from the word "Ki yel ish bein," means when the man has a son, but it's at an age where a father begins to see his son develop into an adult in his own right, where he will be a son, and Ben refers to rise from the shoresh of Bana, to build, that he begins to see in this child no longer just a child, but someone who's growing into the next link in the chain in the family. So Chazal defined this as Ben Hasamuch L'Gvuraso Shel Ish, a son who is newly reached this, or is beginning to reach the full strength of manhood. And this is defined as the first 3 months following the age of 13. And this 3-month window is when we are concerned that his behavior will begin to give us an insight into where he will end up. And so the first lesson of Drosh V'Kabel Schar that we can take away from Ben Sorer Umore is just on this age, where the halachot are applicable. These first 3 months after the bar mitzvah age, after the age of 13, are a critical period, Hirsch says, and will help determine his future. The reason being that it is that time when reaching physical maturity, and he begins to be aware of a more physical and sensual side to his nature, and there is a little bit of there is desire and temptation and evil that comes along with that. So, nevertheless, it is at this point in time where the Torah expects, through with parents' help and educational assistance and guidance, that the youth of 13 will begin to grow spiritually and morally, in spite of the physical and the physical challenges and temptations that he faces at that age. Rav Hirsch writes, and I will read to you a little bit of what he says here. With this limitation, the Torah gives an important hint to all educators seriously concerned about the moral future of their students. The Torah regards the first months after the boy's attainment of bar mitzvah age as the critical period that will decide his moral future. At the very time when, according to the common view, the youth's awakening sensuality awakens also the evil in him, the Torah expects a decisive breakthrough of the good. The Torah expects that the good, through its struggle with sensuality, will work its way up ligvuraso shel ish, to the moral strength of true manhood. The Creator of man gave this period of struggle to the youth, and it is he who ordained that this period should also awaken within him a spirit that burns with enthusiasm for all that is morally great and noble, and turns away in outraged disgust from all things base and low. And Hirsch goes on to write that this is the age where he becomes obligated in Torah and mitzvos. He becomes a bar mitzvah. And it's at the same age where he is all of a sudden becoming conscious of sensuality and temptation, that he also is to be inspired by mitzvah, by the fact that the responsibility devolves upon him, and the fact that he is now entrusted to take care of himself, and he's considered to be responsible for his own actions. And Rav Hirsch says that the statement of Chazal, the famous statement, that Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, that Hashem says, I've created an evil inclination, but I have created Torah as a spice or a remedy for it, is especially applicable to a youth of this age at 13. And he should be, and so that Hashem is aware that he's created this Yetzer Hara that is now confronting him at this age, but Hashem also given him Torah and mitzvos as his obligation and his responsibility at this point in time, which can help guide him through these challenges. And it's specifically at this age where we see how he deals with these challenges. But if when he begins this age of adolescence and he begins to face these challenges of adulthood, his response is to ignore the Torah and the mitzvos that become his responsibility, but to follow his temptations to the nth degree, and steal, and imbibe on alcohol and be a glutton, then this can lead to no good. If this is how he begins his adulthood, if this is how he deals with the challenges and the temptations of physicality, then where do we expect him to go from here? And this is, again, an important lesson for parents and educators about the importance of this age, of this stage in the child's development, and to be aware of it and treat it with that great importance and the great significance. Another lesson that we can draw from the Ben Sura Mora is regarding how the parents present him to the Beis Din. The Pasuk says, Ki yeli ish ben sorera mora, Einenu shomea bekol avivu bekol imo. He does not listen to the voice of his father and the voice of his mother. V'yisru oso, and they chastise him, lo yishmali him, he does not listen to them. V'sofsu vo avivu imo, his mother and father take hold of him. V'hotziu oso zeknei yiro v'elshar mekomo, and they bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate, which is where the courts were. V'amru and the elzeknei yiro, they say to the elders of the city, B'neinu zeh sorer moreh, this son of ours is rebellious and disobedient. Einenu shomea b'kolenu, he does not listen to our voices. Zoleo Vasove. He is a glutton and he is drinking. So the verse points out that the parents are presented here as a single unit. Einenu shomea bekolenu. He does not listen to our voice together. And we earlier in describing his sins, it says Einenu shomea bekol aviv kolimo. He doesn't listen to the father and the mother. And our verse says that the only time we can put to death a ben sora mora is if the parents can truly say they speak with one voice. Einenu shomea bekolenu, in our single voice, which we speak as one. If the father and the mother together are of the same mind and are educating the child towards the same goal and treat the child the same way, there's no favoritism. There's communication between the two parents and they're on the same page, and the child does not hear things from one that he does not hear from the other. There's no going behind one parent's back. If the parents are on the same page, then, and the child is still acting in this way, then we know there's a real problem. And our first says, this is again, drosh v'kabel schar, that this is how parents are supposed to educate their children. Being on the same page, having the same ideas and goals, and being sure to be consistent between the two of them. Because if that's missing, if it's not einenu shomea bekolenu, but there's kol aviv is saying one thing, kol imo is saying something else, well then we wouldn't put the ben sura amora to death, because we cannot fault him for what he's doing. He's not receiving, and he's not being educated properly by the father and the mother. They are. Had they done a good job of educating him, he might have turned out differently. And perhaps, Refer says, even whatever his problems are could be a result of poor education and can be fixed later on in life. And we're not, once he finds other mentors, or he's not solely under the guidance of his parents, and perhaps that can be fixed. And we don't want to put him to death, al shem sofo, because perhaps this can be rectified. It's not the child's failure, it is the failure of the parents. So again, drosh v'kabel schar. It's another lesson for parenting and education that we see from the story of the Sora Mora regarding how parents should work together to educate their children. And we see this as well, because Chazal derived from this idea of the father and mother together involved in this process. They say that the father and the mother have to be equal in terms of kol, mara, koma. They have to sound, have the same voice, they have to have the same appearance, they have to have the same height. Everything has to be the same between the two parents. Everything has to be on the same page. One parent can't be more imposing than the other. One parent can't be more understanding of the child than the other. They have to be treating the child equally. Also, Chazal tell us that from v'sof suba, they grab hold of him, means that they can, they have arms, they're not, they can walk, they're not disabled. If parents are disabled, it can also weaken their educational influence, or her says. And again, when there is something off in the parenting, we cannot blame the child for his actions. It's also interesting, what her says, that the averos that we attribute to the ben sura mora that prompt his parents to take him to Beis Din are not averos per se. He ate a lot, drank a lot. The stealing perhaps is an avera, but the eating and drinking themselves are not averos, strictly speaking. However, this is the criteria of a child who will not end up becoming anything worthwhile, because we see what is valued by this child. He values the physical things in life, and he is spending his time eating and drinking when he should be devoting himself to spiritual pursuits at that age, at an age where mitzvah is now newly, mitzvahs have newly devolved on him as a responsibility. And it's a lesson for parents in terms of what should be stressed in the home. The first says that it's important for parents to stress the importance of spiritual values, of Torah and mitzvos, and not the importance of having a good meal or having good food or good food and good drink. That's not what's important. And if the child sees the parents stressing something a little bit too much and not discussing other things in the home, well, then what is the child supposed to think about what's important in life? And the whole environment of the home should be one where adults and children are striving to grow spiritually and grow closer to Hashem. And the children see that the parents are helping to train them and prepare them for their adult lives and adult lives of spiritual growth. And that's why the Zolel V'Soveh is what's indicative of a child who will end up becoming no good. And that's why it's not, we wouldn't put him to death if he were eating treif. That's what Chazal tell us. If he's eating nevelos, treifos, that's not a ben sera mora. A ben sera mora is someone who eats kosher meat and kosher wine, but goes too far, because that's what's important to him. And these are just some examples of the drushas and that from which we can be mekabel schar, as Hirsch teaches us. Some thoughts and lessons from the story of the ben sera mora, some educational ideas and principles that can benefit us, even though this ben sera mora may never have happened and may never happen in the future. But the ideas that contribute to it and the precise situations in which Chazal do say that we could technically, theoretically prosecute a child for ben sera mora teach us what it means to give a child a Torah education, what is expected of parents, and what can parents focus on to give their child an education that will help train him for an adulthood of striving closer to Hashem. Moving on to Parak Chaf Beis Pasuk Hey, we read about a mitzvah. Lo yiyeh kli gever al isha, lo yobash gever simlas isha, ki sovas Hashem lokecha kol ose eile. Male clothing should not be on a woman, and female clothing, a man should not wear female clothing, women's clothing, for it is an abomination before Hashem, anyone who does these things. So, what is the idea behind these isurim of beged isha, beged ish for a woman? And why do we have gender differences in the Torah? So Rav Hirsch writes that, in fact, this is not discrimination. In fact, he says the woman is mentioned first here in the pasuk, kli gever al isha. But the idea is that the way Rav Hirsch sees it, women have a certain calling, a certain place in the home, where they are a woman is the mother of the home. And he says, although this may seem to be a limitation, but this is a role of tremendous importance in the future of the nation, in to raise families, to be a mother, and in this sense, the future of the nation, the success of the nation, depends on women more than anyone else, more than men. And it's important that women have this responsibility, which they can handle in a way that men cannot. And this is the foundation of the Jewish home. And the home, of course, the family, is the building block of the nation. The nation being composed of multiple families. And so, to make sure to establish family life in a way which enables the nation to grow and succeed with those family building blocks flourishing, the Torah wants to ensure that gender roles are adhered to, basically. And so the Torah restricts men from wearing women's clothing, women from wearing men's clothing, because it's important to maintain those gender differences, not as discrimination, but as each gender valuing their own role and understanding their own calling in the national structure, the familial structure, and making sure the lines are not blurred. And the Rosh explains that this is why the mitzvah that follows the prohibition of Beged Ish and Beged Isha is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is when you find, when you come across a nest that has, where there's a mother bird sitting on her eggs or on her chicks, so then it is a mitzvah to take the mother bird and send it away before taking the eggs, or one doesn't have to take the eggs, one can leave the eggs there, but one may not take mother bird. One must send it away. And the reason for this mitzvah of her suggests is because it gives expression to this idea of the importance of the woman in the home. And because what happens here is that when one comes across the mother bird and he has the opportunity to take her away for himself, he sends her away. Because we protect the mother bird, and when one sends away the mother bird, one expresses an appreciation for her role as a mother of the young, and we do not want to take the mother away from that role. And he first picks up the mother bird to show that he is capable of taking her. He could take her if he so desired, and then sends her away so that she remains free, and he doesn't take her away from this responsibility. And the generals that are enshrined by the prohibitions of Beged Ish and Beged Isha are given their expression through action through the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So that as the mother bird is mothering her children, is attending to her babies, we express that this is an important job. It's not one we wish to pull her away from. And this is it, this is how these two mitzvahs are connected in the parsha. And there's another lesson regarding the foundation of the Jewish home is contained in the following mitzvah, which flows from these ideas, because it also deals with the importance of the Jewish home. And this is, again, in the next pasuk, the mitzvah of Ma'akev, building a fence around one's home. And here, Rav Hirsch writes that while most animals build nests and homes for their young, they do so for themselves. They do so for themselves and their dependents, and they need to take care of themselves and protect themselves. But when people build a home, and in this case, specifically, Jewish people build their home, guided by the Torah, we're supposed to have a different idea. When we build our homes, we are supposed to not just be taking care of ourselves and our families, but also have in mind that our families will have others in mind and care for others too. So that we put a fence around the house, around the roof, so that anybody who might be there will not fall off and hurt themselves or be killed. And again, it's not just for the family itself, but for anybody who might end up being on the roof. We don't want anybody to injure themselves. So we think not just of ourselves when building a home, but think of others. And this is an important lesson for the Jewish home, in that the Jewish home exists as part of a Jewish society. And even though each person is obviously created for himself, but also we also have to be concerned for the injuries of others around us. And there's also the concepts of Zikin and Bor B'Shus HaRabim, and not leaving anything around that could possibly injure anybody. This is the considerations that a Jewish person has in building his home from the very outset. It's not just about one's own family, but it's also the family also is concerned for the welfare of others. In Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tes Vav, the Torah is telling us about how people are to conduct themselves when when camping out in the military, when they're out when they're in the battlefield and they're camped, and when the soldiers have to relieve themselves, they were to leave the camp and have a shovel with them at all times. They could then use to dig a pit and relieve themselves outside the camp and then come back. And the Torah summarizes this, the reason why this is so in Pasuk Tes Vav, Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalich bekerav machanecha, for Hashem your God walks in the middle of your camp. Hatzilcha, to save you, v'laseso yivecha lefanecha, and to place your enemies before you. V'hayom machanecha kadosh, so your camps shall be holy. V'yireh b'cha ervas davar, and Hashem shall not see any nakedness in you. V'shav me'acharecha, and refrain from following you, from staying with you. And so the way Rav Hirsch explains this message in this pasuk is that the success in battle, and really in any area of life, depends on Hashem's presence and Hashem's assistance, not on personal strength. And as Rav Hirsch puts it, the Hashem's presence in the battle in with the army does not depend on the courage you display toward the outside, but on the courage you display toward your own self. God's presence in your midst depends on whether you keep watch over yourself and guard yourself against all moral evil, so that the animalistic aspect of human nature and everything that reminds one of it will vanish from your environment, your appearance, your actions, your speech, your thoughts, and your emotions. For God does not go ahead of your camp, rather mishalich bekerav machanecha, he walks in the midst of your camp, at the side of each and every member of your society. Therefore this society shall be holy. Let no ervas davar, nakedness in the widest sense of the term, appear in you, neither externally nor internally. For only on that condition is God your God, and only on that condition does he walk with you, accompany you, and never restrain himself from doing so. So says Rav Hirsch, the idea is that we want all anything having to do with erva, with physicality, with sensuality, removed from our lives, removed from our environment, in the case of the camp that we were talking about in the context of the psukim, but also from removed from our appearance, removed from our actions and speech, to be refined and removed fully, even from our thoughts and emotions, Rav Hirsch goes as far as saying that. Why is this so important? So Rav Hirsch says that, of course, we are a combination of guf and neshama. We are a combination of physical and spiritual. However, our spirit, our soul, has been temporarily fused with a body in this world to be able to fulfill its mission. And we have the free will to follow, follow it, and let it be the more powerful one of the two, and act as moral beings and we have the free will to choose that path. And so we try to remove reminders and expressions of our animalistic side, our physical characteristics, whether it's nakedness, erva in the strict sense, or beyond that, whether it's soa, where one has to remove himself from human waste when he says Kriya Shema or learns Torah or makes brachos, and whatever it might be. We have to keep it away from us. Obviously, it has a place. One doesn't Chazal don't forbid us from going to a Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKisei, but Chazal do forbid us from being from thinking about Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz and a Beis HaKisei. And Chazal instituted sets of halachos regarding how one should act appropriately when he is in the bathroom relieving himself, and made rules of netilas yudayim afterwards to remind us that we have a dual nature and we are that we can keep them separate in a sense. We can choose which one we follow. We can choose what is more important to us. And the pasuk does say, "Vayomachanecha kadosh," which is plural. Your camps shall be holy, because this is true in the army, but it is also true in every other area of human life. It is true at home. It's true in the shuls. True in the Beis Hamedrash. It's true when we go to work, wherever it might be. We always face this tension between our spiritual side and our physical side, and wherever we might be, there are halachos and standards that guide us to try to keep those thoughts of physicality out of our lives, out of our minds, and at least and out of the forefront of our minds. The focus of our minds is on our spiritual endeavors, our spiritual goals. And so this is in every area, but these halachos are taught in the context of a battlefield, because that is an area where one can easily lose sight of what's important. And so lose sight of, because one becomes, it's a very physical act of going out and fighting and killing people and the enemies. And so it's easy to have one's morals and values quickly disintegrate. And so it's important to stress the kedusha of the machane when one is on the battlefield. And Rever says this message is extremely important in an era when materialism is pervasive, because it threatens our morality and it threatens our values, and it's important to prioritize and make sure that we know what our values are, especially in those times. And Rever cites the famous statement of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, which is the basis for the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, which is actually connected with this parsha here. The Braisa in Maseches Avodah Zarah says, Tanu Rabbanan v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, which is from an earlier pasuk in this section, that the soldiers must be careful about anything, any evil thing from coming into their camp. And he says in the Braisa, this means shelo yahar adam bayom v'yovel lituma balayla. A person shouldn't have inappropriate thoughts during the day that might lead to him becoming tamei at night. And mikan Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, based on this, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said famously, Torah may be with the zehirus, that Torah leads one to zehirus, to being aware of, to being watchful of his actions. Zehirus may be with the zerizus, that his watchfulness leads him to acting quickly and his alacrity in doing mitzvos. Zeriz may be with the nikius, and that brings him to cleansing himself of any traces of averos, and so on and so forth. This is the chain, rungs in the ladder that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair charts, which in the Seilas Yesharim builds on and elaborates on in all of his chapters, each of these levels, and so on and so forth. But it begins, the point of this all is to avoid the Shelo Yahar Adam Bayom V'Yovid Tumah Balayla, the idea of avoiding the physicality and animalistic side of our selves, and de-emphasizing them as much as we can. And of course, Rav Hirsch points out the starting point for Rav Pinchas ben Yair is Torah. It's Torah maybe we day zehirus. And the Maseilas Yesharim famously does not have a chapter on Torah because as some of Farshim say, he takes it for granted. It's not necessary to emphasize the importance of Limud HaTorah as the first step towards perfecting oneself from a spiritual vantage point. And This is the idea of Vayomachanecha Kadosh. It applies always, but especially in a battlefield. We do have a dual nature. We have a physical side and a spiritual side. They cannot be separated one from the other. The physical side enables the spiritual side to accomplish what it needs to do. But we can choose where our priorities are, and we can try to banish the physical side from occupying the foremost place in our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and our actions and our speech and so on in all areas of our lives and our environment. We can emphasize the spiritual. We can think of that more. We can dress ourselves in a way that puts that does not emphasize the body. We can act a certain way when carrying out our physical needs that will make sure to remind us that they're of lesser importance and not our true essence. And hopefully that when we do that, we will then be able to focus on our spiritual essence. We will be able to have the courage to stand up to our internal temptations, and then we will merit the presence of Hashem, who will be mishalich bekarav ma'achanecha, and then truly v'yom ma'achanecha kadosh.